Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
My Jesus, Praise the Lord and bless His holy name. I am Dennis Mujimba, and today I shall be sharing with you about the question of believers exempted from the consequences of disobedience of God's laws. That is the question I want us to answer today. Unfortunately, you don't have the opportunity to pose questions to me. How I wish that opportunity was there. I think this is a topic best attended to in a face-to-face opportunity or call in. But I think it's a good area of debate, because I think there are different perspectives about it. However, there can only be one biblical stand. God's stand is one about this issue. And hopefully within this short time that we have today, we shall be able to answer that question. Thank you for those who are joining us again, as in you are able to tune in or listening to last Sunday's message, where we talked about God's laws of health as He delivered them to Moses during the time he was shepherding the children of Israel after they had left Egypt into their journey to the promised land. Now, the context of Moses receiving these laws is that they were given to him even when the presence of God was with the children of Israel in the daytime as a pillar of cloud and at nighttime as a pillar of fire. Why this is important for us to appreciate as believers is that there are some things God requires us to do, and He's not requiring them of us because His presence is or is not with us. They are actually good for us, for our well-being. In fact, when you go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, let's turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. Moses wrote, saying, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Then in verse 13, he goes on to say that, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them." In verse 15 of the same chapter, he says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Now, why these verses or portions of scripture I've read to you are so important is that there is a level of blessedness that comes with the presence of the Lord. But there is a higher measure of blessedness that comes with obedience to the word of the Lord. In other words, in spite of the fact that the children of Israel had the presence of the Lord with them, a pillar of cloud in daytime, pillar of fire at nighttime, they still had a responsibility of obeying the word of God. Because Christ is in us does not mean that we're exempted from obeying the word of God. In fact, the standard is higher, because when he dwells in us by his spirit, he gives us the ability, he makes it easier for us to walk after him. So, here the children of Israel, in spite of the presence of God being with them, they still had a responsibility. If they were to avoid the curses, if they were to attract the blessings, they had to obey the laws that God gave them. Now, this raises the question for us, as I asked earlier, are we exempted, are believers exempted from consequences of disobedience? From what we've just read here, if it's not clear to you that there is no exemption from consequences, we are going to go a little deeper and we actually understand that God has never given an exemption for disobedience. The only way we can survive the consequences of disobedience is by true repentance. In Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, let's read verse 1, then 13 to 14. This is what he says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In verse 13, he says, for you, brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. From this scripture, it is self-evident that we as children of God, we are not exempted from following the law. Because he says in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We don't have a license to use the liberty we have in Christ not to obey the law of God. If it were so, it would be that we are also exempted from loving, yet without love, we cannot say that God is in us. The evidence of our love for God is our love for one another. That is the evidence of us fulfilling the law. So, even when you reflect on what we shared last week, you know, these laws of health, these laws were actually given so that you do not spread infection to your neighbors. Not to yourself, you're already sick, but it was about protecting your neighbors. Therefore, when we are obeying the laws of health, we are actually manifesting our love for our neighbors. That is why in verse 14 of Galatians chapter 5, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because none of us is exempted from loving our neighbors, therefore we cannot say we are exempted from God's laws. Because all of us have a responsibility to love. And even though Christ died on the cross, he did not take away our responsibility to love God, neither did he take away our responsibility to love our neighbors. You and I still have to love. And love is
of God and love of our neighbors is evidence of us obeying the laws of God. Therefore, from the standpoint of love, none of us is exempted from obeying the laws of God. Number two, none of us is exempted from walking in the Spirit if we have chosen to walk with Christ. Paul says in his letter again to the Galatians, chapter 5, he says that, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Here he was talking to the church in Galatia, or at Galatia. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, in verse 19, he says, the works of the flesh are evident. So, here's the thing. Once we have chosen to walk with Christ, then we have to obey walking in the Spirit, so that whatever we do is contrary to what the flesh desires. But if we continuously walk in the things of the flesh, then our argument that we are walking in the Spirit does not hold any longer, because walking in the flesh is contrary to walking in the Spirit. Just like walking in the Spirit is contrary to walking in the flesh. You cannot live in both worlds, the flesh and in the Spirit at the same time. And in verse 19 of Galatians 5, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So again, here there is a very clear distinction in the word of God, that if we continuously practice the things of the flesh, we can as well forget about inheriting the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is only for those who will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Remember that the two are contrary. The kingdom of God is not inherited by flesh or the works of the flesh. It is inherited by the Spirit, and the evidence of walking in the Spirit is bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which he says in Galatians 5:22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, which we saw in verse 14, that you shall love your neighbors as yourself. So love again comes in as the foundation. Then joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Walking in the Spirit, evidence of that is what we've just read, these ones. But if we continuously manifest the works of the flesh, then it is evident that we are not walking in the Spirit as we are professing, but we are actually walking in the flesh. So it is not about what we say that we are walking in, but the things that we do are the evidence of where we are walking. And if we walk in the flesh, we'll be punished for our disobedience. God has not said that the children of His who are born through Christ are exempted from the consequences of walking in the flesh. And the ultimate consequence of walking in the flesh is failure to inherit the kingdom of God. As he says in verse 21, that just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. However much you may want to say and believe that because you confessed Christ, your walking in the works of the flesh is of no bearing, that is a very, very major level of deception. That is self-deceit. In case no one has preached to you that you're exempted from the works of the flesh because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and it is you who has chosen to believe that, then you've walked in self-deception, and it is deadly because you'll ultimately not inherit the kingdom of God. It is right there in the word in Galatians 5:21. Now, what we also need to understand is that there is what is called the law of sowing and reaping. And it is clearly put in Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Ladies and gentlemen, the debate is settled there. Children of God are not exempted from the eternal law of sowing and reaping. If you continuously sow in the works of the flesh, you will ultimately reap corruption. That's what he says in verse 8. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And the wages of corruption is death." Eternal death. Just as sowing in the things of the Spirit, which are sowing in love, in joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you continuously bear such fruit, then you reap everlasting life. Now, our salvation and our choice to walk and follow Jesus Christ is not we are not exempted from the eternal law of sowing and reaping. Because if we continuously sow righteousness, we will reap righteousness. If we continuously sow unrighteousness, the works of the flesh, we will ultimately reap the consequences of the works of the flesh. Therefore, we are not exempted from eternal laws. We are not. And that is the second strong point. One, we are not exempted from love, because in loving, we fulfill all the law. And Christ dying on the cross did not exempt us from fulfilling the responsibility to love. Number two, we are not exempted from the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow in the flesh, you reap corruption, ultimately death. If you sow in the Spirit, you will ultimately reap everlasting life. So that is where I want to end this debate for today and go think through it. But as we are urged in Galatians 6, verse 7, "Brethren, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." It is just as clear as that. If we sow disobedience, by doing the things of the flesh, by breaking the law of God, we will reap the consequences of breaking that law, even when we are walking with Christ. If you break the laws of health, you will reap the consequences of those laws. I can tell you that. If you break the laws of sowing and reaping, you will reap the consequences of breaking that law. If you break the law of sowing in the spirit and you sow in the flesh, you will reap the consequences of sowing in the flesh. And that ultimate consequence that we should all desire to go away from is failure to inherit the kingdom of God, as we are told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, that those who practice the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which Paul tells us beforehand that we shall not inherit the kingdom of God if we do so. Thank you. Think through it, reflect through this in the course of the week, and choose to sow in the spirit that you may inherit and reap everlasting life. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.